Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again a red and green figure, green hat, kind of a red top.
Yeah.
Amy Pettit for another edition of Ag Matters.
I have a great face for radio this morning, Mike. I've been a little under the weather for the last couple of days. My voice sounds a little off. I actually totally lost my voice on Monday. Some super bugs going around, but
That is true. We lost one of our regular people, Tim Meraki, who normally does his sports show, came down sick, and had a few other people we've noticed, but you seem to have bounced back.
Yep, this was my goal, to be back in for radio this morning, and I made it. I stayed home in bed the last couple of days drinking chicken broth and hot teas.
Is that the secret?
Garlic tea and chicken broth, that's my secret. Yeah.
Okay, well, good. So what are we going to do today?
Yeah, so no guests today, just me, and I want to talk to folks about holiday meal planning.
Wonderful.
And including more Alaska grown in your holiday meal.
Well, very good.
Yeah, so as you probably remember, before I came to Farmland Trust, I worked for the State Division of Agriculture for 10 years running the Alaska Grown Program. And our primary goal with the Alaska Grown Program is to promote the use of more local foods everywhere, whether that's in personal consumer shopping, in restaurant use, institutional use at schools, hospitals, et cetera. We just want more people eating more Alaska grown. So why not more people eating more Alaska grown around their holiday meals? Because we all know, I mean, Christmas is about the presents, but it's really about the food too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then New Year's, people typically have a big holiday party around New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Lots more food again. And I was thinking about it this morning. I don't just want people to eat more Alaska grown around the holidays. We'd love it if they ate more Alaska grown every day, every week, every month. It's been mentioned a couple times. I don't know if I've mentioned it yet on Ag Matters, but if every Alaskan spent $5 a week on Alaska grown foods, it would have a $188 million impact on the economy. Wow. Lots of potential.
Sure.
So,
go ahead, begin, yeah. Because I, and as I'm thinking about it, as you were describing this, I'm saying there's so many different aspects to agricultural production in Alaska, so many different foods. Yeah. Where do you even begin? How are you going to organize this?
So I am going to talk first. Typically, people plan their meal around the protein, right? For a minute, we're going to pause on all our veg head friends, as they self-call. You know, Mark Austin uses that term, that he calls himself a veg head. So I'm just going to say, for all my veg head friends, just pause for a minute, because we're going to focus on protein first.
Okay.
Because a lot of people plan their meal around the protein. So typically during the holidays, people are talking about a big protein. They invest, you know, in a big turkey, or they get a big prime rib or something like that. And so I have been doing my homework around this, and there's still a lot of those Alaska grown products available. I put a call out on the Farmland Trust Facebook page for if anyone knew of people with local products that we should mention, et cetera. And I was thrilled to learn that the Matsu Farm Co-op still has Alaska-grown processed chicken, turkey, and goose available this week.
Oh.
So if you haven't bought your big protein for the holiday table,
right?
Alaska-grown chicken, turkey, and goose. That's awesome. I didn't think that there would be any turkeys available still.
That would have been my guess.
Yeah, I had a turkey an Alaska-grown turkey for our Thanksgiving meal, and it was incredible. But I know the farm that I got mine from, she doesn't have any more for Christmas. So Matsu Farm Co-op, if you're on Facebook, you can search for them, and their phone number is right there on their page. Or actually, I suppose I could just tell folks real quick because I looked it up to make sure their phone number was on there, and it is.
So they're on Facebook, but not so much a website.
I don't know if they have a full website or not, but you can call them at 360-8798 for processed chicken, turkey, or goose. And they're also the folks that are delivering eggs all throughout the valley weekly, and actually even into Anchorage. They are taking Alaska-grown eggs into Anchorage a couple days a week. So okay. Matsu Farm Co-op. So
before Before you go to the next step,
yeah.
Metsu Farm Co-op,
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting sounding name. Do you know much about how they're set up or who they are?
Yeah, I do know a little bit about them. So I won't go into too many details, but it started around eggs.
Okay.
There's a huge demand for Alaska-grown eggs across the state. And they were trying to get into some of the Anchorage retail markets like Nusagaya, Natural Pantry, et cetera. All of those retail locations would love to have Alaska-grown eggs all the time, but they need a large quantity. They
sure.
can't just have a couple cartons here and there, sometimes on Tuesdays. You know, it's got to be
right.
consistent.
Right.
And so Rochelle and the other folks with Metsu Farm Co-op, they got organized. They figured out exactly how many people were raising, you know, backyard chickens. And they said they started to grow that and said, look, if we can all commit to this many eggs per week, then that ends up being this many eggs. And then we can start these delivery options and then you can actually make money. And it's working. I don't know how many months it's been, maybe even as much as a year I've been delivering eggs into mm-hmm. All across South Central and into Anchorage.
Oh, well, wonderful.
And you know what they say about backyard chickens? That's like the gateway drug to big farming, right?
I know. We've resisted. We've stayed at our three chickens.
But okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I can feel the pull.
Yeah. So that's your poultry option for your holiday meal, Metsu Farm Co-op. And then not everybody wants poultry for their holiday meal, right? I had turkey for Thanksgiving, so I'm going to have red meat on our table on Christmas.
Okay.
And we are going to have an Alaska-grown prime rib, which also hopefully still available. You see, the last 2 days when I was homesick, my plan was to be doing my drive around homework for the show. As late as Friday of last week, Matt Valley Meats on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway and Butcher Block Number 9, their sister store in Anchorage, still had Alaska-grown prime rib available. I'm not sure if they have it today on Wednesday, but hopefully they do. And if they don't have prime rib, I know they have other options: steak, ground beef, different cuts, loin cuts, etc. So if you're looking for that red meat option, again, Matt Valley Meats or Butcher Block Number 9, great options, incredible Alaska-grown meat. And I cannot wait. My husband does the best prime rib, and I just cannot wait for that at our house.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And lamb. Someone asked me about lamb, if there are any sources because some people like to have their, you know, lamb is kind of a traditional
odd time for lambing here in Alaska.
It's true. So I was doing some homework from my couch the last couple of days, but I could not find any local lamb available. So if you know of someone out there that has lamb available, you know, post it to our Facebook page and we'll try and help spread the word about that being available.
And I'd also remind listeners, if you're listening in the morning, this is Wednesday morning, between 7:30 and 8, you can call 745-8900. That's 745-8900, as we had last week, a couple calls.
Yeah.
And if you have information that you'd like to share about Alaska-grown produce and other things, then please let us know.
Yeah. So before we get off the kind of the protein, or I guess it's not really protein, but I kind of think of it the same, I had a comment from Susie Crosby with Cottonwood Creek Farm Alpine Dairy Goats. And she said, how about local Alaska-grown eggnog?
Oh.
She apparently has milk available and farm-fresh eggs.
Okay.
So there you go. On our Farmland Trust Facebook page, Cottonwood Creek Farm Alpine Dairy Goats, make some local eggnog.
There you go.
Are you an eggnog drinker?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. I save and focus only. I only have eggnog at the holiday time.
Right.
And I try to be limiting because eggnog can be overwhelming.
Right. Yeah.
So I like to focus on it. Yes.
I
can do eggnog.
Well, that was a great idea. I hadn't thought about that, that end of the spectrum or that side of the table, but I was glad that Susie mentioned that. So local eggnog. So then we talked about the protein on the plate, right? From the Alaska grown perspective. So there are so many different sides available that are still local Alaska grown available all over the place. If you're a grocery store shopper, there's Alaska-grown potatoes and Alaska-grown carrots, very easy to find in any of the retail grocery stores. I also noticed that here in the valley, Bush's Bunches, mm-hmm. the produce stand out headed towards the Butte, is open today from 12 to 6. And in addition to potatoes and carrots, they also have onions and what was the other thing? Beets.
How about rutabagas?
I don't know if they have any rutabagas. They had kohlrabi just like 10 days ago, so I don't know if they still have any of that. But they're open and ready to help you find those Alaska-grown products. They also carry Alaska Chip Company's chips and popcorn at their retail outlet, so that's a cool option. So they're not open every day, though. So I know that they posted on their Facebook page that they're going to be open today, Wednesday, from 12 to 6. But I don't know if they're going to be open again before Christmas. So folks should think about that.
So many people, of course, have either done the work of, as they looked at their own gardens, or if they purchased stuff during the high season, they processed a lot of food.
Yeah.
May have frozen it, may have canned it, may have done all the rest of that stuff.
And, yep.
And now are able to go to their pantry and pull this out as Alaska grown.
Right.
Because that's what we have to do sometimes.
That's right. The great thing is that more of our farmers are extending their seasons and working on their own storage capabilities, like, underground storage, cold storage, et cetera. And that's why we have potatoes available year round and we have carrots available almost year round. And these beets and other products that are coming out of cold storage, we're lucky that these farmers are investing in their own cold storage. But yeah, a lot of folks put up their own products. I'm not one of those. I get so busy in the summers that I don't take the time to can and process things. The one item that I take the time to can is Brussels sprouts. And I do pickled spicy Brussels sprouts. And those are actually one of my holiday gifts that I give to people. So I just finished those up about 10 days ago. I'm excited to open the first jar. But yeah, lots of Alaska grown vegetables available for that that holiday plate. Obviously, we talked about eggnog being, milk and eggs. And Susie mentioned her farm. But Havemeister Dairy, still going strong, and their milk is available at all of the grocery stores here in the Valley, in addition to most of the stores in Anchorage. So hopefully everyone's sourcing that milk.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Most holiday tables include a little bit of holiday spirits, right?
That is true.
Yeah.
I'd say that many.
Yeah.
We don't want to, many
we don't
is
want to
a
say
safe,
all. Yeah.
Many is probably a safe description.
Yeah, but that's another section of the Alaska grown industry that is really, really growing right now is the wines and beers and alcohols. And there's quite an array of Alaska grown products available now. Alaska Berries, their farm and winery is actually down in Soldotna.
Okay.
But their wines are available here at Three Bears.
Oh.
In the Valley, yeah.
Okay.
And there are incredibly good fruit wines. A lot of people think, oh, I don't really like those rhubarb wine. I've tried, I encourage everyone to try Brian's wines because they are very good. They're not too sweet and they're not too, I don't know what the word is, but they're really like a real wine.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Alaska Berries. There are some other Alaskan bottled wines.
Right.
But they're not using Alaska-grown fruits. The only certified Alaska-grown wine is from Alaska Berries.
Ah.
Look for the logo, read labels, pay attention. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to, benefit and say we're, Alaska-made. Alaska-made is not the same as Alaska-grown. I'm just a little bit of a stickler on that one. On the other end of the spectrum, when you're talking about heavier spirits, the whiskeys and vodkas and those types of things, there are also more and more Alaska-grown options now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've used the term, we've talked about Alaska-grown in the past,
yep.
And reminded people that there's an anniversary.
30th anniversary this year.
30th anniversary this year. And I know that there are some places, for example, olive oil out of California is certified by a group that has made sure that the olive oil that's in the bottle is olive oil and it's certified in
certain
ways, et cetera.
Yep.
I'm thinking that Alaska grown isn't quite at that same level of certification. But if you see something that says Alaska grown and it has the logo, for example, And how does that work out that we can be assured that it's Alaska grown?
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you asked that because that's been a hot topic lately. The Alaska Grown program actually is a certification program. That logo is a federally protected trademark in the certification mark category.
Okay.
It's also protected within the state of Alaska. And there is there are a couple of employees at the Division of Agriculture who go through the effort of certifying farms and products into the program. Now, caveat, when you sign up to be in the Alaska Grown program, you you actually verify and sign a document that states that, and it's all the specifications are there, but you're kind of signing this document saying, I swear duly above that I, you know, will only put the logo on these products that I know to be Alaska grown that meet the qualifications that are previously listed. There have been instances where folks have used the logo on products that it shouldn't be used on. It's a 30-year program. It's widely recognized across the state, and some folks want to try and capitalize on that when they shouldn't. But the State Division of Agriculture does their best effort to police that, and they also ask that other people and other members of the program police it as well. And if you see something, say something, right? If you see a product, you see an orange with an Alaska Grown sticker on it, it's not Alaska Grown, right? And
probably not.
Yeah, let the folks know at the Division of Agriculture. Division of Agriculture, because that's their job, is to make sure that that logo is only put on products that meet the criteria of the policy.
Okay.
So yeah, it is a real certification program.
Yeah. When we were talking earlier, by the way, this is Mike Malevsky. I want to make sure if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Amy Pettit as she does her show Ag Matters here from 7:30 to 8 on Wednesday morning. You can call in at 745-8900 if you want to comment or ask a question. And I go back to protein for a moment. We talked about red meat. We talked about fowl. We didn't mention fish.
Fish, yeah. Glad that you brought that up. A lot of people are probably going to have some salmon or halibut or something, crab, right? King crab is popular this time of year. None of those items are Alaska grown. Seafood does not qualify as Alaska grown. It is outside the boundary of the certification program because it's wild harvested, not farmed. That's the difference maker.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, hot topic. Oh, let's not go
so
there.
Now, if I logically follow this, then farmed salmon could be Alaska grown.
But it's illegal to farm salmon in Alaska, right?
So there
and
we
so
go.
There, well, therefore it would never fit.
There was a way out of that.
Yeah. Shellfish
okay.
that is cultivated and farmed in the state is Alaska grown, such as oysters, clams, mussels, gooey ducks. Those can use the logo.
Okay.
But finfish, not allowed in the program.
And
we love finfish.
Sure.
We love crab. We love all of those items. But they're not farmed in this state. They are wild harvested. And so, yeah, we don't include them in Alaska grown.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing would be true of moose and
exactly.
caribou. And
exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Just that helps to clarify things a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. You know, when I started at the division 10 years ago, 11 years ago, there weren't any Alaska grown mushrooms in the state. There were only wild harvested mushrooms. Today, we actually have some, quite a few mushroom farms across the state. And so we actually have Alaska grown mushrooms, but that's one of those kind of touchy topics and people get excited about it. A lot of the berries across the state are wild harvested, not farmed, right?
Right.
And we only want to put the logo on farmed products. And we try to be really careful with people. People get mad at us, or I don't work there anymore. They used to get mad at me as the manager of the program. Why won't you include this in Alaska grown? It just makes sense. These berries are all Alaskan, you know, so on and so forth. But the program was designed to promote farmers and farmed products. And it's just a different category. And we mean no disrespect to those wild harvested products, but most of them have their own sort of program that they can get involved with to promote, such as Made in Alaska. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So last night, it was my pleasure to be at the Borough Assembly meeting. And of course, one of the topics into consideration and actually being postponed until January was discussion about the next farmed, Alaska-grown product, which has been in the news quite a bit.
Oh,
I'm talking
yeah.
about cannabis.
Yep. Yep.
So how...
I guess we'll say this. If folks are planning to imbibe throughout the holidays, we hope they're sourcing Alaska grown, right?
Right. Well, I'm just going. Once the there's a suggestion by some members of the assembly that the state's guidelines be used for any growing operation involving cannabis here in the borough or in the state in the nearby area. And should that be happening, I guess that I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's still in flux. They're still trying to figure this out. And, of course, there's a federal level involved as well.
Yeah.
But this would seem, since it is it meets the criteria, doesn't it? It's farmed, Alaska-grown product.
Yep. I think it's really going to come down to the administration's guidance. I think when I was an employee at the state, I had a director and a governor who were not interested in the Alaska Grown program in particular, having anything to do with the marijuana industry. There was a strong feeling that the marijuana industry has a negative connotation and the Alaska Grown logo has such a positive awareness and feeling about it. And the idea was that if we started putting the Alaska Grown logo on those types of products, it would just have a negative impact on our logo as a whole. Now I'm not completely sure that I agree with that, but that was the feeling at the time. Now we have, you know, Governor Walker and we have Director Keyes, and they may have a completely different feeling around it. I think that it feels to me like the state has been kind of slow going in this arena, and I don't know if that's a sense of federal change coming. I don't know.
Or taking time to assess rightly, I think, the complexity of this whole thing.
Right.
This is a big change.
It is a big change. It is a big change. And I think that people's opinions, you know, overall are starting to change and flex when it comes to marijuana, perhaps. They used to be very anti-marijuana, and now they have a friend who, you know, is in, you know, terrible pain daily unless they use, you know, a cannabis oil or a hemp oil to help them ease that pain. You know, I mean, people's ideas are changing, and I think we'll see change at the administration level as well. And frankly, as an employee of the State Division of Agriculture, when I would travel to other states to learn from them about their programs, to hear about the funding coming in to those state departments of agriculture from the taxation, the certification, the laboratory fees, et cetera, it just kind of made my eyes get big and excited because, you know, that's something that we need in this state is new revenue, and perhaps that's an avenue to get it.
Right. Maybe similar, what you're describing is something similar as the governor has proposed an increase in fuel taxation.
Right.
But also looking toward, directed toward roads, et cetera, rather than into the general fund.
Right.
And presumably some taxes, perhaps on cannabis, could be directed in a similar fashion to agriculture, support agriculture in the state.
Or fee for service, right?
Sure.
There's a program at the division where if you want a certain phytosanitary certification in order to export your peonies outside of the state of Alaska, you have to pay the inspector to come in and conduct that inspection on your farm and sign that paperwork. And so it would be the same type of thing. But anyway, hot topic, interesting topic.
We'll be back to it later, but we're just pretty much to the end of another edition of this Ag Matters. Do you have any last comments before we finish up?
Well, I hope that everyone maybe spends a little bit more time or extra effort in sourcing something Alaska grown for their table throughout the holidays. And if they do, I would love to see a picture of it. If you take a picture of your holiday meal and post it to our Farmland Trust webpage and Facebook page, and tell us what's Alaska grown on your table, I'd love to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do have an idea of who our guest is going to be next week, too, those that might be interested. Sure. I've mentioned it before. We have a program at Farmland Trust now called FarmLink.
Okay.
And it's our dating service to connect farmland owners with farmland seekers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The moment I'm thinking, oh.
Dating service? What?
Yeah. Okay.
I always joke about that, but it is a database based program where we're connecting landowners that aren't currently utilizing all of their ag land with ag land seekers. It's called Farm Link. And our guest next week will be Margaret Adsit.
Oh, wonderful.
Who is managing our Farm Link program right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Amy Pettit is Executive Director of Alaska Farmland Trust, and she's here as the host of Ag Matters every Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. Thank you, Amy, for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Mike.